Well, I would appreciate your prayers. And that's not just a cliche either. I have something I feel like the Lord's been talking with me about. My thought tonight is, where is your heart? Have you ever been involved with maybe a project, or maybe it's your children, and you're trying to do something, and you know that their heart ain't in it? You know that they just don't really care. You're maybe trying to accomplish something, or maybe something's meaningful, and you're putting something into it, or you got a vision of how you might want it to come out, or how to be accomplished, and you want them to have that drive or that, and you just know their heart ain't in it. They just don't have the same mind that you do. And I've been in that place a number of times. I remember, not meaning to be critical, but several years ago, there at Green Bank in our congregation, we had decided that after the meeting, we was going to get together, a bunch of us, and we was going to go up to the lawn in D.C. We was going to go up to the cat, and we was going to sing and pass out tracts and do that. And so we just kind of published that as, if you want to go. And we forgot to put in there, if your heart's in the gospel work, you could go. We just said, if you want to go to D.C. And so a number of folks just wanted to go to D.C. And I'm sorry to be critical, but, you know, when these young guys are wrestling on the subway deal, I'm wrestling and showing themselves, I have to say, really, I kind of wanted to just separate myself a little bit and say, I don't really know them. Because, honestly, I had something in my mind, and I didn't think their heart wasn't in it, into the same thing that I had in mind of. And so sometimes, we got up there, and, you know, there was a few that had a mind of it. I think most did, but there was a mind of it. But you could tell some others was, their heart was sightseeing more. They didn't have the same heart in it. Where's your heart tonight? You know, we come to these services, and maybe you come for a variety of reasons. I mean, I don't know, because I can't read somebody's heart. I don't know what your heart really is. I mean, there could be a good chance that, I mean, I know there was a long wait here tonight before I got up, but even at that, there could have been people that would have said, oh no, not this guy. I mean, I don't know what your heart is, or why you come here, but there's a real question, I think, that all of us ought to answer for ourselves, in honesty of the message of the moment. Where's your heart? I mean, really, where's your heart? Because you could be here tonight, and you might be somewhere else. For instance, I happen to know, heard the news today that OU's playing tonight. I know Oklahoma's football team's playing tonight. If they win, they go to the national championship. That's a bit of news for you. You might be here tonight, and maybe your heart's out there with that somewhere. You can have your heart on a lot of different things. Maybe you're here and you like to fish, and you're thinking, I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be doing something else. Or maybe you got a project going. Maybe your heart's on that project. Where's your heart at tonight? What desire, what passion do you really have tonight? We can say a lot of things. We can act a lot of ways, but, you know, living for the Lord is a heart matter. It's plain a heart matter. And the most you get out of it is the most you want. And when you want God, when you want to do it, When you want God in your life, you'll have God in your life, because this is a heart matter. It's what you really want and desire and hope for. This is what we need. And so I want to think about it tonight. Where is your heart? Where is it really at? It might be on a girl tonight, young fellas. I don't know. That ain't a bad thing. It might be on something else. But where is your heart? Is your heart really to find God in all that He is? Is it in to really serve the Lord? Or is your heart to make a little bit of a show and stay as far away from it as you really can? Or is it really to experience the salvation of God and what He has for us? To really know what it means to walk with God. To really know what it is to experience God. To have experiences for yourself. You can listen to my stories. Maybe you like them. Maybe you won't. But they're not your stories. Isn't my stories is only encouraging you to get your stories. Have something for you to say. That's why Brother Carl preached to us last night. You know, it would be good. I was all for it. To have something when you go to service. I've been promoting it for years. I'll even tell them sometimes, have a poem. Did you read a poem this week? I would love to just go service and somebody stand up and say, got this good poem I heard. It's better than nothing. It might be good. But where's our heart? Where's our heart in the service of the Lord? Don't you desire that when you invite somebody to service, I hope you invite somebody to service. If you invite somebody to service, in your heart to want them to see the ultimate, don't you want them to feel the experience? Why wouldn't we want the ultimate experience? Do you know that one or two people being on fire for God don't represent it very well? I mean, when somebody comes in and they might look and say, that guy was really on fire. What about everybody else? What about when people come? Why wouldn't we want to say, Lord, give me all I can have? I'm not talking about the flesh. We get in trouble all the time with that. No, I'm talking about me doing my part so the life of Christ can be demonstrated in our services. And listen, I don't know what your part is, so I'm not going to put it on you. There are some people that won't speak in service because it's impossible for 200 people to speak. We'd run out of time and it wouldn't have. But you know, there's a part for everybody to play. I hope there's been somebody praying for the service tonight. I really hope somebody's been praying for the service tonight. I hope there's been activity behind the scenes. I hope there's somebody that cares enough about the service to be praying for. To have a heart enough for it to say, that minister's going to need help tonight. Let's pray until the Lord can touch him and help him and then feel the benefit of that. But Lord, help us. Where is your heart tonight? Scripture over in Matthew 15th chapter. Matthew 15:8 says, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. People are saying the right things. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Right words. Lord is so good. God's mighty. Mighty to save. Mighty to keep. God, right words. But their heart. Their heart is far from me. Their heart is in their work. Their heart is in their games. Their heart is in their gadgets. Their heart is running over here to the world. It's in their music. It's in their entertainments. Many people can stand up. Listen, that's why I'm not for anything. I'm not for demonstrations much. Be honest with me, I'm not for demonstrations. I don't care much at all for somebody to get up here and try to manipulate the crowd into doing something. If you love Jesus, you'll stand up and do. Because anybody can stand up and do. You want to love Jesus, keep His commandments. You want to love Jesus, have a heart for His work. Because I can see somebody can say, if you love Jesus, stand up and shout and give your hands or do something like that. And I'll turn around and I know there's people that do that I know don't love the Lord, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Lord, help us. Where's your heart at? I can honor the Lord with my mouth, but where's my heart? Is it in the right place? In modern America, I feel like there's a deception. This is the deception. There's this idea of love. And love being only an emotion. I run into it quite frequently where the idea of love is just used as an emotion. I love God. I love God. You know, it's best. Look, I want you to look at it this way. It'll make sense to you everywhere. Love is value. When you value something, you love it. The more value you put to it, the more you love it. And that's the real description of a Bible love. Because we don't always feel anything. We don't have to feel anything. If I love my wife, it's because I value her. The more I value her, the more I want her. The closer I want to keep her, the more I want to protect her, the better I want her to feel. The more I value anything, the holder I, the stronger I hold it to myself. To say I love God isn't emotional. It's value. God is valuable to me. The more I love God, the more valuable I find Him to be. I have to value Him. It isn't about how I feel. I may feel terrible, but I value God. And when I find that's what loving God is when you place value on Him. How can you say you love God and you don't read His Word? I don't know. You answer it. How can you say you love God but you don't go to services? How can you say you love God but you don't love His people that have His Spirit? How can you say you love God but you don't put yourself in any place where God is? You put value. I want to be with God. I want to hear the songs that sing about God. I want to hear the scriptures that talk about God. I find value in God. He helps me. I can't do without God. He's valuable. Where is your heart tonight? Are you feeling the lack when God's not there? I hope so. Where's your heart? Because I know what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to divert our heart and our attention and get us to care about other things and still say, I love God. I love God. You can't make the exception. God becomes valuable and I say, I got to have Him. That means I got to have Him today. I'll have to have Him tomorrow. I'll have to have Him in my life because He's valuable to me. And in the scriptures, you'll find it all the way through. The word hate wasn't meaning that you was angry or had an emotion. It meant that you despised it or you brought less worth to something. When the children of Israel despised the land of Canaan, they didn't say it with feelings. They didn't put value to it. They devalued it and therefore they despised it. And it was the same way when Esau despised his birthright. What, did he sit around and feel angry about it? He didn't hate it in that sense. He hated it in the sense that he put no value to it. It wasn't worth anything to him. And so he didn't have a heart for it because it's not worth anything. I want to tell us today, we got to cultivate a relationship with the Lord that He is the most valuable thing in my life. I love my wife, but not like I love God. I've got to have God. I've got to have the Lord in my life. I have to. It's everything. It's what is the most meaningful thing. You can take plans. You can take things away from me, but I got to have the Lord. I find him the most valuable thing in my life. And therefore, when there it becomes a wrinkle in my life or something happens or where there's a dispute against maybe an object or an item or whatever it is, it shadows in comparison with what I want God. And so therefore, I have to say that's secondary. It isn't worth a foot of land. It's not worth my relationship with the Lord. It's not worth it. A bent up car on the highway is not worth my relationship with the Lord. I can't afford. I can afford a car. I can't afford to lose the Lord. Because he's so valuable. We need to call to, where is your heart tonight? What is the most valuable things you have? I read a book one time, and it was a lot to the book, but the one thing that really I've kept it all these years, as the guy said in this book, he said, the best time to gauge yourself about where your heart is when you find those moments till all the pressures of life are off. You're through with the work for the day. You don't have many people's work demands a mind process. I'm sure Brother Dan would agree with this, though he works with his hands as a mechanic. You got to think to do it. there's a process of thinking, and most of what we do is that way, and you have to think. But when everything quiets down, and you have the time to reflect on life, you have the time to think on anything you want to think on, your mind will go to the valuable place of your life. He said there is your best gauge when you can think of anything that you want to think of. Does your heart run to muse upon the Lord? Does your heart go to the things of God? Or does it go to the checkbook, the financial books? Does it go to how much money you may have invested in, what the stocks have done? Or when you can think and do anything with your mind you want to, is it a hunting trip? A fishing trip? Is it a conflict? Is it a place over here? But mark that in your life. Where do I want my heart to go? When everything else is, I can allow it to go now where I want it to go. Where is your heart? Where is your heart tonight? We can say anything. You can do most anything. But where's your heart at? God is the only one that truly knows tonight where your heart's at. He knows where your heart's at. We send out, if you will, signals all the time. God reads those signals. They're the intent of your heart. God knows what you're intending. He knows where you're at. He knows whether you really love him and he's valuable to you or not. He knows that. I'm reminded of a story, tragic story, several years ago, many now. I think the woman's name was Susan. I don't really remember, but this woman, obviously was a troubled young woman. She had two little boys. For some reason, something happened in her life and she got tired of those boys. Two beautiful little boys. I've seen pictures of them. She went and drove her car off into a lake with these little boys strapped in their car seats. She drove the car off into the lake and let it sink into the lake and killed those two little boys. Well, she needed a story to tell. So she told the story of pulling up to she reported to the officials that the authorities that her car was carjacked. And she said that she pulled up to this certain intersection and the light was red, and when she stopped at the red light, this man was standing on the corner, and he pulled a gun on her and made her get out of the car and take her, and he took her car, and she never saw her children, and the children was in it, and that's what the story she told was. But as soon as she told the story, the authorities knew she lied. because if she said there was nobody else at the intersection, and they knew that if she pulled up to that intersection, that the light would have not been red. If there was nobody else at the cross section, it only turned red when it was free for to go. It was one of these default things, and it should have stayed green going this way. Unless it was stopping traffic the other way. They knew she lied right off, and so they knew she done something wrong, because that's what lying is. She done something wrong, and now she's lying about it. Folks, do you know that no matter what we try to say tonight about our experience, God knows. Lord help us. Sometimes I don't know why we do what we do as humans. We act like God don't know it all. And that, he act like that somehow God's oblivious. And one of the greatest men in the Bible did it. He was a man of, after God's own heart. He lived for God. He saw the power of God. He did all that. And then he come up a point in his life that he acted like God wasn't even there. That God didn't see anything. He didn't know anything. And he was completely oblivious to all of David's shenanigans that he pulled. And he acted like he could get by with it and God would never know. Now, why would we think that way? Folks, where is your heart tonight? Wherever it's at, God knows right where it's at. God knows exactly that you can't pull something over on him. You can't say something over here or over there. I went before the Lord one time and was praying, just wanted to be with the Lord, just praying. And the Lord brought something to my mind. And I just wasn't ready I just was not ready to deal with it. And I stopped mid-prayer. And put it, you know you can do that. I did. I put it out of my mind. I deliberately put that out of my mind. When I got it out of my mind, I started praying again. And I was praying along. I want to be saved. I want to pray. I want to be with the Lord. And the Lord brought that back to me again. It come up like a mountain. That time I stopped and shook my head, opened my eyes. Got it out of my mind. I'm not ready to deal with it. Got down to pray again, and so plain the Lord said, you just as well pray about it. I already know. I just told the Lord, and I spilled out the facts of it to the Lord. Lord, this is what it is. And I ain't ready to deal with it. Lord, help me. I ain't ready to deal with this. You know, the Lord made me ready to deal with it. It was His time. It's His place. Where's your heart? If you got something here tonight in your heart, God knows it. You don't have to tell me, but He already knows what your issues are. And if you ain't putting God first in your life, you're not going to be successful. And He ain't cruel. He knows you ain't going to be successful. You can't be successful. And He knows that. He knows tonight whether, I don't know, all good saints to me, but He knows. He knows exactly. Years ago, one of the first planned revival I ever preached in La Ranger. One night I got there, had a burden on me, burden for sinners. I was just convinced that there was going to be a house full of sinners. Because my burden was on me, and I got there and looked around, and it come time for the word, and I looked around, nothing but saints in the building. I told my wife, I said, Something ain't right. I know I got a message. I mean, I got a sinner message. I just thought sure that they was going to be there. And she just said, oh, just preach what the Lord gave you. Well, I said, there ain't no choice about that. I ain't got plan A. I got plan A, not B. Nothing else on the slates here tonight. I got to preach what I had. It disturbed me, though. I thought, well, what is this? I mentioned later to the pastor and his wife, which was Brother Ed and Sister Roberta. I said, sure felt like I missed that one. And they looked at me and said, oh, Brother Marty, you sure don't know, do you? No, I don't. Dead on, they said. Dead on. Hit the nail right on the head. Lord knows what He's doing. Knows what He's doing. All good saints to me, folks. I don't read people's hearts. When you say praise the Lord, that's good enough for me. But the Lord might be saying, they sure honor me with their mouth, but their heart's far from me. I promote righteousness in people's lives. I promote purity. I want purity in people's lives. I don't promote this filthiness of the world. I don't promote this lasciviousness out there in the world. I don't promote the rottenness of the modern media and of the modern musical industry. I don't promote that stuff. That's the Lord's way. I don't promote those things in people's lives. If you want those things, that's not where the Lord's heart's at. Lord, help us. Where is your heart tonight? The Lord knows where it's at. I surely don't know. But we send off signals all the time to the Lord saying where it's at. And when we want something less than pure and holy and right in the Lord, we're telling the Lord, oh, my heart's far from you. There was another instance just recently in the news. They think the woman's dead now, but I think mother out there in Colorado or somewhere come up missing. You hear the news on that? They come up missing, started looking for her, started checking in, and her phone pinged. You know what a phone pinging is? Her phone pinged 700 miles away on a tower off in Utah or somewhere. And that made them real curious. How did the phone get there? Or was she there? Where's the phone at? The phone pinged, though, at a tower. Away from where it ought to be. They say it with their tongues, but their heart's far from me. Pinged way out there somewhere at a foreign tower. At a place it shouldn't have been. Way off there sometimes. You know, folks, when we start having desires in our hearts for things and we do it, you know, that's just information to the Lord. Lord knows those things. Lord, help us. Where is your heart at tonight? Another scripture is familiar. I want to look at it. I think this is in 7th chapter of Matthew. Chapter 7. No, I'm sorry, I was wanting Mark. Nope, let's try Matthew 6:21. It says in the 19th verse, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth doth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor steal. You know, that sounds specific, more specific than we normally take it. It is. It's. We take it that as a good suggestion, but that doesn't really sound like a suggestion. It sounds like a positive command to me. To lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth. To build up big bank accounts and big up things. I mean, I'm just saying what the scripture says. Don't blame me. I'm just saying, let's read the scriptures here. It says not to do the one, but to do the other. And it almost sounds like they're conflicting to one another. This is what you do. I think it's wise to handle all of our finances. We ought to have a wisdom in it. But this says don't lay up for yourselves because it's corruptible. But there is a place where your heart, where's your heart at? There's a cause. There's a cause. Where's your heart at? David run into it, did he not? When he went up there before the Philistines, the great giant of the Philistines, Goliath stood out there and he come up there and he run into it and he must have been confounded. Where's y'all's heart at? Where are you all at in here with this? Why don't you give yourself? Isn't there a cause big enough to give yourself to? Are you willing to give your life to something more than yourself? Why, he must have been completely amazed. What are you doing? He went up there and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And they started blaming David for even thinking that way. Well, what have I done? He said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Where's your heart at? Are you really, really willing for the cause of God to be so defiled that you don't stand up and do something? Is that all the heart that you have, that you can see this thing fall and not raise your sword against it? Where's your heart? Well, this is our heritage. This is our God. This is our whole life here. And you're willing to let this giant destroy that? Where's your heart? Why don't you have, where's your courage? Where's it? Is there not a cause for me to speak this way? Surely there's a cause for this. This is who we are. I don't want to lose Holy Ghost leadership in our services. I don't want to lose the precious things that we have. God's able. We serve a mighty God. We don't need to start living like there's no God. Let's let sectism do that. Let's have a heart for God. God's able to bless and help. He's able to heal us. He's able to save us. He's able to have deliverance at our altars. Do we not believe that anymore? But is there not a cause for me to say that? Where's our heart at? Are we being in danger of being robbed of what we have because our heart isn't in it? Lord, help us. I appreciate the special singing. I do. I appreciate the special singing. I appreciate anybody that works for the Lord. I don't want to see that slip either. I don't buy any excuses. I'm not the Holy Ghost, so don't look for me to come to you before service and say, you have a song. I don't know whether you have one or not. You might be not even be living right. That's why I don't do it. You might not be in a position to even get up here and sing a song, and I wouldn't know it. But I will say this. Don't you want the people to come here to get the ultimate experience here? Well, if they do, it's going to be because there's fire in our souls. It's going to be because we have something in our heart and because we care more about the Lord than we do ourselves. It's because we're going to be willing to sacrifice our hearts, our lives, our ambitions, our desires for the Lord that saved us and give our life to Him. He may call you to greater things or less things. I don't know. He'll call you to something. Singers, sing. Prayers, pray. Pray. It's one thing to hear some come into a congregation and say, "Woo! That brother laid it down when he prayed." Then it's something for the next service to somebody else to lay it down. And instead of one man getting the praise for being on fire, there must be something here. We want to glorify God, not lift up ourselves. I'm not satisfied in living mediocrity for God. He ain't a mediocre God. He's not mediocre. He's a great God. He's a great God. So he said not to lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For listen to this, for where your treasure, you got any treasure? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I want to say everybody in here has treasure. You do. It's what you've deemed worth something. Your valuable place in your heart. That's your treasure. Wherever you put that, is where your heart will be. Is it not true? Do we not recognize that as being true? It is absolutely true. You put the value on a vehicle. Do it. If you try, if you want to, do it. Put the value on that and see if your heart isn't on it. See if you don't think towards it. See if you don't want to wax it. See if you don't want to do everything. Of course you do. Because it's valuable to you. You'll take care of it. You'll coddle it. You'll make sure it shines. You'll do everything with it. Of course you will. You'll do that with anything in your life. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So the Lord says, a real warning. There is another warning like Proverbs, 28:26. It says, fool trusteth in his own heart. You're a fool to trust in your own heart. You can't depend on it. It'll lie to you. It'll tell you something's valuable when it's not. It'll trick you. It'll do all things to you. That's why we're wise when we say, guard your heart, young people. Don't allow something in there to start with, and you don't have to try to do it, take care of it. You allow a lot of things in there that's got talons or it's got claws. It's not as easy to let go. It won't let go of you. You get your heart on someone or something. Where is your heart tonight? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I have a struggle sometimes with a heart matter. I want to go home. I go home a lot faster than I leave it, folks. I like home. I sometimes wonder, Lord, what was you doing when you called a guy like me to go out on the road? I am forever keeping myself consecrated. I'm just telling you, I struggle. I really like going home. I like going home. And sometimes, there's been times that the Lord has said, I got another week for you. I've been out 3, 4. And the Lord says, I got another week for you. And I got to go pray. And I realize that there's something that always pops up in my life. And it's a heart matter. Folks, it's a heart matter. And there's going to be those places in our lives, aren't there? By our makeup and things, there's going to be things like that. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes there's been things like that happen and I've went home. And I've questioned the Lord, did I do it right? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm in a pool here. I don't know how always to handle things. Sometimes I worry about my children and all the traveling and the stability that they may or may not have through all of that. The only thing I can do is say, Lord, you know our heart. Would you cover anything we do wrong? You know, I've seen the Lord do that so many times for us in our life. So many times I feel like the Lord took a part where I couldn't. All I had to do was do what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. But it seems so conflicting in there because I got so much to juggle. But I want to tell you what the answer is. You got to have a heart for God. God can take care of all those things in our lives. He knows how to do it. He can cover all those things. He can make it right. I can mess it up, but God can do it right. But where your treasure is, Lord, you've got to be my treasure. That's my treasure. That's got to be, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And sometimes we got to pray, Lord, help me to have a greater desire to preach the gospel. Help me to have a greater desire for souls because this ain't working. Because I got a heart. And it's got to be right. Or it doesn't work. Their mouth, their tongues, they speak right. They say the right things. It sounds good. But their heart is far from me. In case that is a passage that comes from the Old Testament where the children of Israel, and they said everything right, but their heart is far from me. They're saying the right words, but they don't have a heart to follow me and follow my instructions and do what I want them to do. And we live in a world of challenge and changing world. The victory that we're going to have is a heart victory. We're going to have it in our hearts. We're going to have the right thing inside here. We live in a technological world, folks. It's not like it used to be. When I was growing up as a young boy, we didn't try to serve the Lord, but when I was growing up in the heart of West Virginia, mountains and all that over there, most people in my community, most of them close by, they run an antenna up on top of the mountain and run some lines back down simply to get one channel clear enough to watch on the TV. That was as much as you could do, and if you could stand and watch the fuzzy pictures a lot of times, you could entertain yourself through that. What a different world we live in today. Folks, listen, this is the reality of it. There's no restrictions, or there's no barriers coming down the pike, and the ministers ain't back here praying or concluding that we're going to have some new standards or something like that. Folks, this is up to you. There's going to have to be some, no, I don't do that. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to have to stay away from that. If I'm going to really have a heart for the Lord, I'm going to have to simply turn that off. Or I'm going to have to set something on that thing. I'm going to have to do something on that. I'm going to have some responsibility on me here. I'm going to have somebody watching over me. Whatever it takes, folks. Whatever it takes. But I don't want us to be the one that our mouths are still singing. Or we're doing that stuff. But behind it, there's no heart. And our heart's far from Him because it's getting lukewarm by the sensation of the flashing screens. And the sensation of anything that was ever put out there in the musical world, I can get it at a tap of a few buttons. Or anything that I want to watch or entertain that I can entertain myself. And I can do it in the privacy of my own hands, in my own chair, in my own room. And there is no barriers or there's new standards that is going to come up that we're going to start restricting what you have in your hand. It ain't happening. It's going to be whether you find God valuable or not. Because these things are challenging our value of God. And I want to say that these things are habit forming. Truth. They're truth. They're hard to give up. They're hard to stop. They're hard to manage. And that by itself flickers warning lights to me. Anything that becomes powerful like that is a warning. Is this righteous? Is this helping me? Or am I sending off? And I don't care about righteous things. Am I sending them to God that I don't really value Him and my time, my precious time? You have precious time. The most precious thing you have is time. You ever hear the term spending time? Oh, that is, folks, listen. That is so accurate to say, I'm spending. You have an allotment, an allowance. Given by the Creator, an allowance of time. And everything you do, you spend a little bit of that time. Spending it. Some people waste their whole life on trivial things. Gaining nothing. At the end of a full lived life, they can look and say, I have nothing. But we spend our time. It's so valuable. It's given to us for a reason. We have it now. You know, I travel a lot. And I'm always amusing myself when I travel by the great herd of humanity around me. Watching vehicles go by and seeing what people's doing. And you know, there's an amazing thing happens. You stop at just about any red light, and the majority of people nowadays pull out their gadgets at a red light and start, if they're not already doing it. But the red, you watch the red lights and you'll see people pulling it out. Come on, it's 15 seconds. I mean, come on. It's not, but I can't wait. I gotta do something. Lord help us. Where is your heart? Listen, don't say Brother Marty's saying there's bad stuff about this. You might be doing good stuff. I'm just saying that sends out something to me. Really, it's the thing we live in. We text each other. We do that. I don't see anything inherently wrong with any of that, but I have to warn us about something. What is it really doing? Where is your heart really at? And if you're using your gadgets to entertain, Brother Tony taught us years ago, that word is made, entertain is made up of two words. It means enter and tain to hold. You're held from within. You're not held by chains. But for a segment of time, you're held from within. Your own being is held. You're held or made captive to something that's holding you, your attention and holding yourself, and you're entertaining yourself. What are you entertaining yourself with? I mean, you can say, I love God, but what are you entertaining yourself with? But he says here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Of what I make valuable in my life. You know, when we say we love God, we can't help from saying we love each other. But the Bible even says, how can you say that? How can you say you love God and hate your brother? How can you say God's valuable but your brother's not valuable? But I want to challenge us to something. You're valuable. You're valuable. You're valuable. The more value we put on one another, the more we love one another. You're part of my treasure. Now, honestly, I think my wife would testify to this. You are honestly my treasure. I just love being with you. I love coming to these meetings. I love seeing you all. I can be discouraged and come in here many times just seeing you guys. You're just valuable to me. I think about you when I ain't around you. A lot of times, about all of you that I know, I think about you. You're valuable to me. You're my family. You're meaningful. I wouldn't want to see you hurt in any way. You know why? You're valuable to me. I want to see you succeed. Why? You're valuable to me. I want to see you prosper. It's because you're valuable. You know what? If you're out there and you're not feeling worth anything, I'll tell you something. God says He loves you. You know what that means? You're valuable. God so valued the world that He gave His only, He so valued you that He gave His only begotten Son. His heart's in the right place. He loves you. Then you're out there today. I want to tell you, you're valuable. Very valuable. You know, when people do us wrong, and it's the Bible says to value your enemy. Well, you're saying you're twisting that. I don't think so. He says you're to love your enemy. You're to value your enemy. He might do something wrong, but God died for him. How can you say he's not valuable? They're valuable. When we look out there and we want to reach out to people and you say, I want to love them, you don't know how. You're relying on an emotional feeling. Stop. You don't have to have an emotional feeling. They're valuable. They're worth something. They're worth feeding. They're worth giving something to keep them warm. They're worth reaching out to because they're valuable. It's a treasure. Folks, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if it's mean anything to you or not, but it means something to me. Sometimes I think about failing. You ever think about failing? Sometimes I think about failing. I don't want to fail the Lord. But you know, when I think about failing, a lot of times I see your all's faces. I just wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to let you guys down. You want to know why? Because you're valuable. Because you're valuable. And I don't want you I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't. Maybe it wasn't discouraged. Maybe I'm putting more on myself. But I know when I think of those things, I say, Lord, help me. I never want to disappoint those valuable people. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And they said to Paul one time, if you go up there, they're going to bind you up. Oh, they was weeping. He said, why do you weep and break my heart? For I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. Because my brother's valuable. And if I can go do anything for him, I'll die trying. Because he's too valuable to leave. I'm not going to leave him behind. And I got to give this. And so I can say of Paul, where his treasure was, there was his heart. Where is your heart? Do you love your companion? I'll challenge you with this love idea. Because if you do, they'll be valuable. You wouldn't want to see their feathers ruffled. You wouldn't want to see them in pain. You wouldn't want to see them in anguish. You would want to make sure that you could do everything you could to give them a helping. And where your treasure is, there will you be heart. It isn't folks, we struggle a lot of times because our heart ain't there. We struggle because we don't really have the heart for it. But here's the real place. Lord, help us to have the right kind of heart towards you. The Bible's, what's the great commandment? To value the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Make him the most valuable thing in your whole life. That's the great commandment. Is there anything more valuable? Is there? No. There's nothing more valuable. But with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's the most valuable thing. In that value, you'll find all the emotion you need. Right? In the valuing of it. I'm not really this kind. I know what it feels like. Some people love animals. Some people love animals more than they love people. I think it's a little unnatural myself, but I know this. You can get your heart on them. I remember I wasn't an overly sensitive and still really ain't an overly sensitive person. Probably not as much as I should be, but I remember when I was growing up, I had an old dog. Well, he was an old dog, so I was pretty young when we got him. Old Sam. He was just an old rug. The old dog get stayed around and he was a good old dog worth nothing. Tried to make a hunting dog out of him and he just lay down. He just wasn't interested in much. Oh, he'd chase a cat off of the property. Used to bark at turtles. But you couldn't get him to do much of anything else. He wasn't much of a dog. But he was a good dog if you like dogs. He was just a pet. And we kept him around for... He was an old dog for a dog. He was up in his teens. And he come up missing. And I always just thought the old dog had died somewhere. He'd gone for weeks. I thought he's long gone. And then one day, I still remember the day, here come this old, skinny old dog, never had a tooth left. His teeth was, you could see rings where the teeth used to be. He'd wore down, old dog. I don't think he could hear much, and I don't think he could see much. And he come in all skint and about half starved to death. And do you know, I remember crying over that. I remember getting choked up over here was old dog come home. And I looked at him and he was so far near gone that I actually got sensitive about that old dog. I realized that I'd put value on the old guy and he was worth something to me. And there was plenty of emotion there because he was worth something to me. He'd been around family a long time. be awful for the old dog to be gone. And I started feeling that way. But we don't go off emotions. But folks, when you value things in their proper places, there'll be more than enough emotions for you. You'll be touched when somebody's touched. You'll hurt when they hurt if they're valuable. They won't shed a tear without you shedding one. Where's your heart tonight? Do you care? Do you even care? I hope we do. Do you care that the cause of God, that it goes on? I hope you do. Where's your heart at? Because, folks, it starts at the house of God. And when it starts at the house of God, it has to start at individuals. And if it starts at individuals, it starts with you. Where's your heart? I want to challenge you to find your ultimate place. Maybe you have. But if you haven't, find it. We need it. We need your amen. We need your testimony. We need your song. We need your encouragement. We need your gift. Where's your heart at? I'll say this. Sometimes I'm asked, what do you think's the biggest hindrance to the call of God? Why isn't people being called? I would have to answer, consecration. God will call you to your place. But you'll have to be in the place to be called. You have to have a heart for it. And when you have a heart for it, folks, I want to tell you, it's made easy. Don't look at it and say, I can't. Because you can. And you're looking at one, I've testified many times of this. It's still hard for me to believe that I stand here and do this. I think it's a little easier than it was a few years ago, maybe. But it's still pretty tough. And it's hard for me to think that I ever could do it at all. And I know at the beginning I used to say, Lord, what are you doing? This seems so strange that you would want somebody like me to do this. But you know what? He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it, and he don't demand great intellect, capabilities, even personality. He just wants willingness. He just wants your heart. He just wants you to have the heart to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It was with me, it was like, maybe it will be with you. Maybe it'll be a sudden blast. I don't know. God knows. But with me, it was line upon line. He just worked with me. And I got there somehow. My experience, the Lord, we needed a Sunday school teacher up home, and it was suggested to me one day, you ever think about doing Sunday school? I said, I'm willing. I'm in it. But I almost wish I hadn't said it. Because it's probably going to, I'm willing. It wasn't very long at all until, but I want to tell you something. God was always faithful. I learned so much. Folks, I learned so much in that time. I told Brother Tony, I said, I'm willing. A couple of weeks later, he called and he said, you know Dad's out of town? I said, no, I didn't know. And he said, this was Sunday morning. He said, you think you could do Sunday school? I said, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave me something. For 5 years, he always gave me something. I'm telling you, there was times that the Lord would, I would wait till the last moment praying and just saying, Lord, I got to do Sunday school. Right to the last minute, and heaven would open. And I would have something. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I didn't know what he was preparing me for, but I thank you, Lord. You gave me something in the nick of time. And there was other times that the Lord would give me something right during the service after Sunday school of that week for the next Sunday school. And you know, about every time he did, I had a week to remember. I'm telling you, I know why the Lord gave me something back in, because there wasn't no time, no other time to do it. And the Lord would do that, and I got until I was in this rhythm with the Lord that I know the Lord was going to give me something. He always did. It wasn't me. He always did. Now, whether my ministry's ever been successful or not, I'll let you figure, but I want to tell you this. He's always helped me. And He'll help you too. And it ain't about you being smart, because I'm not. And it ain't about a personality that I don't have. But I'll tell you what it's about. You get willing and get your heart in it, and you can find a place that you know I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. And you do the heart for it, and He might have you do a number of things. But it's about the heart. Where is your heart at tonight? Because if it's in the Lord, nothing can hold you back from doing what the Lord wants you to do. And if it's not, there ain't nothing in this world can make it happen. This is a heart matter from start to go. This is what it's all about. It's about the heart. There was a time there in the Old Testament where I think they was going to build the temple or whatever it was, and they was looking to get the gold and stuff for it. You remember that deal? They wanted to put out a thing, and the people started giving so much that they had to tell them, stop, just stop. You got to slow it down. There was another place where it said, and they had the heart to work. They're going to build them a time, and they had the heart to do it. You can't stop something that's got the heart for it. They're going to keep right on going. I've got a heart to see the things of God be successful in this life. Might not go to the missionary field, but I can fund it. I might not go to the missionary field, but I can pray for it. I can slap the backs of the ones that's gone. I might not be the preacher, but I can be the one under him, praying him, holding him up. And listen, I know that this ain't about the flesh, but I'm going to tell you just the truth about it. We don't go pumping each other up. Oh, you're so good. You're such a great thing. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It ain't a bad thing to tell the minister that you appreciated the message, because sometimes we don't know whether it hit anything or not. And it ain't a bad thing to get a little encouragement. Maybe you're the encourager. Well, I ain't looking for it tonight, so don't everybody rush up and say it. But it don't hurt a thing to get a little encouragement sometimes. It don't hurt anything to know we got each other's back, and I'm for you, brother, and I'm praying for you. And I want to say something else, too. We need a kind of relationship and heart that we can confess our faults one to another and know that we got support. Bible says confess your faults one another, that you might be healed, that you can be a strong people. You got something you need? You can count on me. I ain't going to run you down. I'm for you. I value you. I want your experience to soar. I want it to soar. I want to tell you, there's nothing more encouraging than some of us older ones to see some of these younger ministers. Is there, Brother Dan? It's encouraging. Go, brother. Seek them, I say. Don't think Brother Marty's holding you back. I'll wait on you. You go get them. And I'm backing you. My heart's with you. My heart's with the gospel. I want to see God's things. I want to see them develop in every heart. I want to see you go way beyond an understanding that I've got. I want to see the richness of this thing. I want to see deliverance at our altars. I want to see a spark in us. I want to see life of it. The life of it. Playing religion never did mean much to me. I'll be honest with you. I never was enthused about religion. I sure like this gospel, though. I sure like the salvation of this thing. Lord, help us. Where is your heart at tonight? Only God and you know. We don't know. Can't stand up here and start saying who's what. But the Lord knows. And for the most part, you do too. You know where your heart's at. So I want to make an invitation to anyone that wants to meet the Lord. His altar is always open. You pray for me.